funny because I was out in America a couple of weeks back, and someone said to me, "Why don't you guys just take away draws? That would make your sport more entertaining." And look at you're nodding your head. You can't take away draws.
If you're not a City fan, you can't say shit to me. Simple as that, right? As far as I'm concerned, yeah, we've underachieved, but we're better than you.
I'm going to go with, because I really liked this transfer, and it was January, so only half a season.
You better be good then.
And I think of the impact he's going to end up having, right, is Giroud, Arsenal to Chelsea.
Hello and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan, and this week on the pod, I'm joined by Gabriel. What are you saying, G?
Really good, man, really good. You know, putting that pressure on last minute, and I hope we can sneak into the top four. So, yeah, all good, man.
You are, you're trying your hardest to make it interesting, aren't you?
Well, someone's got to make it interesting.
This is true. Marvin, a United fan. Marvin, talk to me. I just warned you about eating during the recording.
I thought you were going to go like,
no, I like to mix it up a little.
Toes,
I like to mix
man.
It up.
You know what? He saw you struggling and he just went, Marvin, how you doing?
Good evening, Jordan. I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good.
Yeah, season's over. So
our season's over.
Everyone's season's over.
Pretty much.
It's just FA Cup final and the World Cup to look forward to. So I'm enjoying the sunshine. Hope everyone else is too.
Indeed, I echo that. And we've got a long time in a minute. Zeke, what are you
Hello,
saying?
Hello, I am good.
Also
I'm
a United
good.
Fan, by the way.
Sorry?
I was saying also a United fan, by the way.
Yes, yes. It's been a while, guys. I'm glad to be back.
Good kind
of feel like I was,
last part of the season, scraping the barrel of the season.
Or you could flip it and say the most important.
Exactly,
part of the season.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying some could say that.
Full overriding analysis of the season needs some deep insight and intelligence. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? So I'm back.
Promises.
Now you better bring it. I've just landed, so I'm back.
He's pulling it. Moonwalk.
You make one mistake. One mistake.
Bring it on. All good.
Before we get into the drive-bys, guys, I've just today come from Dulwich Hamlet playing over in Tooting & Mitcham, who've just been promoted to the Isthmian League. They beat Hendon, they finished 1-1. Great game, great turnout, 3,500 people there.
That's good.
Really good vibes, really good crowd, really mixed crowd as well. It's the first time I've ever seen a team of all black men.
Oh, wow.
It's literally like all the team are black, the manager's black. The physio is black. Everybody, the chairman, not the chairman, the club secretary who's been on the pod, Ravit, is Asian. It was really, really, really interesting for me to see that. Great game, and congratulations to Dulwich Hamlet, my local team, got down there finally. Yeah. So big up to you, won it on penalties. Great game. Right, let's get into the drive-bys. Guys, I will start with you, G. Has Darren Moore done enough to get the job?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's many candidates who you would say kind of stand out. From what I understand, West Brom's financial situation isn't the greatest anyway, so it's not as if they're going to have to try to wheel and deal and work with what they have. So why not give it to someone who kind of knows about the players that they have? It's always difficult to find that balance in judging him, because at the end of the day, it could just be the players are happy that it's not the guy that was there before. Mm-hmm. But I'd say, why not give him a chance? We're always talking about more creative ways of getting managers in. He's done a good job. Let him have a chance, and hopefully he can do a good job there.
Indeed. Marv, do you reckon the wounds around Marco Silva are too raw for Arsenal to consider him as their next manager?
Are you still banging on about Silva for manager?
Yeah, I kind of am now. Kind of am.
Jeez, Jordan, man.
I think you got to aim higher.
You got to aim higher. I don't think the wounds are too sore. I just think Arsenal
can do better.
Yeah, I think they can do better. I mean, as much as I criticise Arsenal, right, they are in the top six. They have a great financial...
Oh my God, how far we have fallen now. The bad thing you can say about...
No, they haven't fallen far. They've gradually chipped away it downwards. It's not happened overnight. They worked hard to be this crap. But yeah, top six football, top six club, great stadium, probably the best stadium in the league or in Europe. Financial stability. I think they've got to go big. There is a lot of people on the continent who I think the Prem is where it's at. So I would aim for that. I wouldn't aim for someone that got relegated, then got a decent job, flirted with another team, lost the commitment of his players. I don't think that's the direction you want to go in just now.
Okay, Zeke, if Liverpool win the Champions League, have they had a better season than Manchester City, and should Klopp get manager of the year over Pep Guardiola?
Ah, good question.
I think so.
And I will say yes. I say definitely yes, because if Liverpool do this, then, you know, they've overachieved and they've done really well. Mm-hmm. Whereas in my opinion, in a comparative sense, that Pep was brought in, they invested in that team, which was, you know, the core team is still there and they were position to be able to win the league. Mm-hmm. His job and his objectives, I imagine, on the wall when he stepped in, was we want Champions League. Mm. And he's failed to do that 2 years running now. So I think, yes, they, you know, they've got their applause and they won the league in the manner in which they did, but I think deep down the true objective was Champions League football. Mm-hmm. And to win that and to dominate in Europe. So like for like, I'd say Liverpool season would be better than City's.
It's a kind of a bit of a skewed question as well, because I don't think they factor in European success when they do the PFA. So it's a little bit of a weird question, but I wondered if you thought that he should be regarded higher over the course of the season than Pep, considering they'd won the European title. All right, we're going to be talking on the pod today about the league and what we can deduce from this season's league, considering at the top, City could win it by 20 points, and at the bottom, you know, there's such a kind of conjoined amount of teams at the bottom there, and what that kind of says, where the points are, and kind of where we're going in terms of what's the best way to win a league and stay up. We'll talk a little bit about what's happening in Spain. The Clásico was last night. Madrid are in the final. And we're going to speak to Ben about the Liverpool fans and whether they should be concerned or worried about travelling to Ukraine for the final. We'll also talk about Jose and find out if he, considering I think he'll finish second, is he being judged a bit harshly by many people like myself? And we'll also get a Fulham fan on to talk about their possible promotion and Ryan Sessegnon. But to start off with, we're going to talk about, we're going to give some awards out. We're going to go through, first of all, we're going to compile an FFP team of the year based on the four of our teams. I've asked all four of you to compile an 11 based off players that were not in the official PFA team. So I'm asking for a little bit of creativity here with our
best
side.
Best of the rest, yeah.
Basically, yeah. So let's kind of, we've got a few to go through in terms of things I want to get through on this section here. So let's try and rattle through these guys. I'll start with you, Zeke. Who are your 11? And again, briefly, just explain why.
I think the goalkeeper's very easy, Edison. I think his involvement in the City play started from the back. So I think if it wasn't for De Gea being, you know, the number one keeper in the world, he would have been in there. So definitely an easy choice for me. Mm. Then another kid who's coming.
Sorry, I also must say, by the way, we're going 4-3-3.
Oh, wow. You can't just tell me
that
now.
Sorry, I've thrown that on you. Sorry.
Well, there's going to be some players that are going to be playing some foreign positions right now.
Sorry.
It's too late. I can't go back to tactical board.
We're going
to
go 4-3-3. Make it work. In-game management. Come on.
Then centre-back, I'm going with Tarkowski from Burnley. I think he's done a great job coming in to replace Keane. There, he's had his England call up as well, so I think that should be recognised. And then Dave Azpilicueta from Chelsea. I think in a team that's struggled all season, he's been a consistent performer there, so I put him there. And then I went Valencia right back, because Kyle Walker has had a blazer this season, but you know, Valencia's just solid and has been all season. Mm-hmm. Then left back, I went with Van Aanholt from Crystal Palace. I just think he's performed really well. He's popped up with important goals, and I just quite like him.
Okay.
Midfield.
Give me your three in midfield.
Three midfield.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going.
It's
going
to make me and Gina like copycats here. You're mixing up.
Hey. It's been a while. Yeah, give me my time. Then there's Fernandinho from Manchester City. I think he's been a good performer under the radar. Hasn't had all of the glitz and glamour as the rest of the guys, but he's done sort of like a Kante job, hasn't he, for City? You won't get headlines there, but I think he's been a key clog there. Then I went for Gross from
Brighton.
No one knew who he was. He's coming in, just ripped it up, essentially. Mm-hmm. Got a bit quiet towards the end, but I think he's done enough in the early stages to make it. And then my next three up top.
So who are your three? Gross, Fernandinho,
and then I'm going with Lingard.
Okay. I mean,
I've been tempted to call you out, Zeke, but I've let it ride. Hey. Justify this one now.
Jesse Lingard. Yes, Jesse Lingard. You know why? You all know I'm a big fan of Jesse Lingard, but he's just stepped up to the plate.
Of Jesse Lingard.
He's just stepped up to the plate. Forget all the haters, and you cannot deny he has had a positive impact in the way we play in terms of his drive, his activity. And he's popped up with a couple of very important goals.
Okay, three up front.
Could I just confirm that was Jesse Lingard? Yes. Jesse Lingard.
Believe me, we heard.
Yeah, and then I went with Son at Tottenham. Okay. Yeah, he surprised me. He's sometimes forgotten about, but I think he's done a good job there. Then Sterling, it was between Sterling and Sane actually for me, but I went with Sterling because I think he was surrounded by a lot of talent. He could have gone into his shell, but I feel like he stepped up and represented well. So I was very impressed. And then Firmino as well from Liverpool.
Okay.
I think he's a very important clog in that three-prong attack. It all goes through him, and he's a hard worker as well. He's not just the fancy touches, he actually tracks back a lot. So I think he's he's been a star player this season. So that's my 11.
For the record, Zeke's got a line through Lingard on his notes. I'm not sure that he really
as you can see, I've initially put him back in a defensive three, then I moved him up top to be the number 10. So I actually have Lingard twice.
Just take a picture of that. Put it up.
At the point that I'm
right. I actually have Lingard. So, that's...
Who's your two centre-backs?
Tarkowski and Aspilicueta.
Okay, cool.
Right, what we're going to do now is we're just going to do G and Marvin, but we're going to alternate positions. Yeah. Yeah. And no explaining this. We'll get to that afterwards. Okay. So who was your goalkeeper, Marv?
Edison. I went for Edison as well.
G?
Edison, but I want to put an honourable mention for Pope as well.
I picked Pope. Okay, who was your right back, G?
Well, I didn't have one because I don't know the formation.
It's going to be right back.
Now it's going to be Aspilicueta.
Marv?
I went for Valencia. Okay. Got to have a United man in there.
Marv, who was your left back?
I actually went for Monreal,
Why?
I think defensively, Arsenal been questionable, but overall, I thought he was your best player this year. I quite liked him. And he scored some goals. So I went Monreal.
With a year there's been no good left backs, he was the best of the bad bunch.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Okay, who was your left back, G?
I actually went for Ben Davis.
Yeah, he was my second choice.
That's not a bad shout. Two centre backs.
Tarkowski, if I pronounced it right.
You haven't, but it's fine. We know you mean.
And the other one was Maguire.
Okay, Marv?
I had exactly the same. I thought Maguire was outstanding for Leicester.
Who was the centre of your three, Marv?
Midfield.
Yes.
I had Fernandinho, and I had the Palace centre mid, Miljovic, and I had Gross.
Okay, G?
See, I had Fernandinho, Doucouré, and I also had Kante as well. And I know people will laugh at Kante, but I actually don't think his level of performance has dropped. I think just the rest of the team around him has dropped. So he's in there for me.
Fair point. And who were your front three?
So I had Son, Firmino, Sane.
Son, Firmino, Sane. Marv?
Son, Firmino, Sterling.
Interesting. My team was Pope, Monreal, Lascelles and Ben Mee, with Alexander Arnold at right back. So I've gone Mee and Lascelles. Mee just edged out Tarkowski. I think he's not got the kind of attention that Tarkowski's got, but I think he's been equally as solid. And I went, my left back. My three were Fernandinho, Sterling, and Gross. And my front three were, I went with Lukaku, Barnes, and Firmino. Those were the three up top that I went with. So now we have to agree on an 11 between the four of us.
Well, let's have none of yours.
And please.
I mean, the funny thing is, when you finished your 11, I started to think the ones that you and I agreed on, I didn't want anymore.
So, Jody, you can take your 11 and please take Monreal with you as well. Monreal and your 11.
No, the bit that finished me is Barnes. Come on.
I think Barnes has had a really good season,
Jude, but come on.
He's been better than Son for me. Over the whole season, he's been better for me than Son. No. Son had a very good first half. Yeah. Second half, he's not been great.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'd say probably up until like February, March, I thought Son was still doing good.
All right, so let's go on the keeper first of all. Seems like I'm outvoted on the keeper. So we're going with Edison in goal. Left back, I went to Monreal. You went with Young.
Van Aanholt.
Okay, he ain't getting in. And Davis. So we've got two Monreals in.
Bang.
Right back. Who was your right back, Zeke?
Valencia.
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 Well, that's Aspilicueta, but it's not good winning now, is it?
Okay, so Valencia's right back.
Boom. Oh, bang!
Two centre backs. Did we agree on any one centre back?
I think it was.
Did you free pick Tarkowski?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's in.
Yeah.
Who was your other centre back?
Maguire.
Maguire was mine as well.
Who was yours?
Dave.
Is it Aspi?
Okay.
So,
bloody hell.
All right. So, me.
I had me.
But so hold on. How does that work? Because then Aspi's got two votes there.
Different position.
Sorry, mate. So, we have got Monreal, Tarkowski, Maguire, right back. I went Alexander Arnold.
Valencia.
Oh, just that, never so Valencia. Yeah. Valencia's the right back. Okay. Three midfield. We all agreed on Fernandinho, right?
Yeah.
Fernandinho's in.
We had a look for Gross as well, right? How many for Gross?
I went Gross.
Yeah, three for Gross.
Three for Gross.
Mm-hmm. Fernandinho, Gross. And who was your other...
So I had Doucouré, but I didn't hear anyone else saying
it.
No,
that's because no one said it.
You said Son dropped off, and then you picked Doucouré, who...
Had like the good 10 games.
Fell off the face of the earth.
After 10 games.
Absolutely disappeared. I had to take a 4-point fantasy hit to get him out.
I never said George.
George said
Son dropped off. I never said he dropped off.
There we go.
Okay. All right. So Doucouré's a no-no. Who was your other midfielder, Zeke?
I had Lingard twice, so that's two votes.
Marvin, who was your other midfielder?
Milivojević.
Okay, so we've got.
Can't pronounce it, so you can't get. That's a Lingard.
We've got no consensus. So
we've got a consensus on Fernandinho.
Gross and Fernandinho.
Milivojević was garbage for the first seven games, 007, but that's all right.
I consider Milivojević to be.
So hold on, who? So I had him one. Yeah. You had.
I've got Sterling.
Oh, you've got Sterling in the wrong position. You're out.
Thank you. Because my front three was it? Oh, so
you had Kante.
Forget about it.
Who have you got?
Lingard.
Oh, come on. One boy's got a win,
right,
man.
So, G, we have the votes on this. Milivojević or Lingard?
Milivojević.
I'm going to go Lingard.
Oh, we are really torn there.
Why Milivojević?
Because Mihailovic has actually had a good season overall. I just think Lingard has come in and bits and spurts and scored the god goal.
Scored some big goals.
Yeah, but that's... Nah. And plus, shouldn't he be in the attacking positions as well? If we can't put Sterling in there.
That's also true.
Wait, see, what I've done is two defensive midfielders and then...
I mean, if you say Lingard as a defensive midfielder again, I'm going to...
No. Fernandinho on goals and then Lingard number 10.
Milivojević has played well this year, but he's scored a lot of big penalties.
Yeah.
Take the penalties away, his performances have been good.
George, he's got assists, man. And Palace were nowhere. And like Palace's rise came in accordance with him.
I do hate United, so let's go Milivojević as well.
That's not very professional. Yeah.
So he's in. Front three.
Everyone agreed on Firmino. Right?
Yes, Firmino's in. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Give me that. You went with who?
Then I went with Son and Sterling.
I went with Son and Sterling as well.
I went with Son and Sané.
So Son's in.
Yeah.
So that's Son and Firmino in. Lukaku's got 25 goals and no one put Lukaku in their front three.
Yep. Stand by that.
Wow. I mean, Jose will play
every
time.
I don't rate him like that.
No braces, no hat tricks, very few important goals, lots of miss, can't control for shit, expensive, needs to do more. Wow. Simple as that.
So we've got to okay, so the Lukaku's not in.
I think you got your soundbite there.
So we've got to go third forward. Who is the third forward going to be then?
So it's between Sané. Sterling and Sané, right? Who have you got?
Sterling was in my midfield.
And you had Lukaku. So but it's out of Mark, Sterling and Sterling.
Are you sure you don't want Lukaku? I wasn't so convinced.
For the record, right, he hasn't done terrible, but he needed to do a lot more, like a C-plus season.
So how many people had Sterling in their front three?
Yeah, two.
So Sterling.
Three.
Three of you?
No, I had Sané.
Okay, so Sterling's in. So our team of the year, didn't write down.
George, don't worry. The team of the year is my team. Boom.
Let's go for it.
That's why he's been trying to get my guys out.
Can I just say he's been writing this while we've been talking?
No, I haven't. This is
so
the
team is Pope in goal.
No, it's not.
Sorry. Edison in goal. Right back, Valencia.
Yeah.
Left back, Monreal.
Yeah.
Centre backs, Tarkowski and
Maguire.
Mm-hmm. Three midfield, Fernandinho, Gross and Milivojević.
Yeah.
And up front, we're going with Sterling, Firmino, Son.
Yeah.
Great politics.
That's the FFP. Team of the year. I think that's a good team.
You know what? I'm only clapping.
And subs bench, Lingard.
Lingard can bring the
I'm only
the
clapping because Jules done this a few times and it's been terrible. Like it's just been disorganised. This one, I could tell he thought about it. There was votes. There was enough people. Right, the tie breaks were done. This is growth of a host right now. Well done, Jules.
I mean, I'm pissed because only 3 of my 11 got in.
Jules, yours was terrible.
Yeah.
Yours could team. It wasn't, the man.
Sales has had a good year.
Yeah, he'd make my bench.
He's had a good year.
You lost us at Barnes, to be fair.
Yeah, Barnes has been good. He's played to Burnley. They get four shots in a game.
Barnes has been good, but not like a step down from the PFA. Like he'll be in like the C team.
Right, let's go for some more. Let's go for signing of the season. Let's start with you, Zeke.
Oh.
And let's go for this quickly as well. No longer.
All right, so my signing of the season.
And I factored in, didn't tell you this as well, but we're factoring in the money they cost as well.
Okay.
So that's relevant. I know people say, it's not about
money. Hate Liverpool anyway, so it's easier for me.
So basically, and anyone says Salah, they can go. Because let's be a bit more imaginative than
Salah. You know, hold on, you can't rule
him
out.
You can't do that.
We're all going to agree Salah's the best signing of the season. Let's just put him to one side.
All right, so we put him to one side.
One side, yes.
For the record, he was never on my list.
Okay, me neither.
Do you know what? All right, so it was going to be Salah, but obviously. I'm going to go with, because I really liked this transfer. And it was January, so only half a season.
He better be good then.
And I think of the impact he's going to end up having, right, is Giroud, Arsenal to Chelsea.
Interesting.
Because at the time, I thought, if there was a player...
I mean, they're laughing, but I'm not, because you know, forget I like Giroud's my guy, so I'm with you.
And Giroud, he's doing enough now that potentially... I don't know, Chelsea would just... They flunked this season, right? And he seems like he's come in with his own energy, with a point to prove. And if he does get the goals to get them top four...
And a cup,
you know, then, you know, that's a great sign.
And for 18 mil.
Exactly, for a snip. And the other one I was going to go for, if you don't mind me just...
Well, I'd rather cheap to 50-50, one, but quickly.
Was that loan signing Kennedy from Chelsea to Newcastle, because I think he's going to have a big impact in keeping them up this season as well.
Well,
he's
coming. Yeah, exactly.
So, and he's come from playing no games in the Prem, really, and then he's coming in.
He has had a bit of that, to be fair.
And if he can get the win and go out at Wembley, I think there'll be a statue made for him.
So that was my two. So
all right,
after Mo Salah, obviously. But
G, who was your signing of the season?
Yeah, so Mo Salah aside, it was going to be Gross down at Brighton. I don't know exactly how much it was, but I know it was pretty cheap.
Two and a half mil. He was mine as well, Jordan.
Yeah, and I think he's got 10 goals altogether. And I remember from stats. I mean, I don't want to be quoted on it because it could have changed. But I think he was involved in like 70% of their goals. Mm-hmm. Crazy, and they've stayed up. So he would be my vote.
I picked. I thought it was long and hard. I picked Nemanja Matic. Because I tell you why, I think the impact he's had on United has been equal to Lukaku and De Gea. Because he's not in the sexy positions. He's had a good season, and for 30 mil, he's probably still the best DM in the league.
But hold on, you were talking about like Salah and talk about money. Salah was 34 and he was 30. And Salah scored 40 goals.
No, but I think I said we agree that Salah's the signing.
Oh, okay. I thought he was reeling them out because of...
No. But I still think a DM of his quality for 30 mil is good business. And I think this season, 100%. He's had very few games where I've thought, oh, he's getting rinsed.
He's had
a couple of bad games, but over the season, I think he's had he's a very Jose player.
Jordan, I'm going to dispute that it's good business. The reason why I would say is, if he's coming and they won the league this year, then it's good business. Mm. He's obviously now like in the height of his career. I don't think he can get any better now. He's only going to go down. So business wise, if in these 2 years United don't win a title, then it has not been good business. They've bought a player at the peak of their career for good money. I mean, yeah, it was only 40 million, whatever it was, but at the end of the day, he only had 1 year on his contract after that as well. So it wasn't the biggest bargain ever.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, I just think that considering in a team that's not played that well, in my opinion, Lukaku's got all the goals, De Gea's got player of the season, but I think Matic, because his role isn't sexy, like I say, I think he's gone on the radar. I think he's played really well and done a good job.
Yes, he has had a good season for them. I'll
George,
that.
For the record, can we just say that we haven't agreed on Salah? Salah was never my number one, ever.
Okay, three of the four of us.
Okay,
I mean, I don't understand how you can not pick Salah as your signing.
I picked Gross. Is it 2.5 million? 70% of goals, assists outside top six, assists for days.
It's arguable.
He was relegated, I think, in the German league last year.
If Liverpool win the Champions League
and get top four,
would you change your mind on that?
Listen,
I hate Liverpool, so it's a
yeah,
don't
let's worry. Move on.
I'm going to edit that bit in every week. So don't worry, I'll put that
listen,
bit.
Listen, Salah has been outstanding. He's deserving of PFA. But if Jordan's saying about value, 2.5 million for somebody that contributed 70% of your goals, a team that I tip to go down stays up because of this guy.
For Champions League, if they win it.
Yeah, you guys are thinking Hollywood. The prem is more important than Champions League. Staying in that division keeps money flowing.
Let's move on.
Sorry, John.
Flop. Let's go flop signing of the season.
Jeez.
I've got a list of four, and I want to see if any of you guys have got these four on. Start with Yuji. Who was your one?
The thing is, I know everyone's going to just go Bakayoko, but I mean,
he came into mind, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, I, for me, the number one is Renato Sanchez.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say Santi. Yeah, but he's flopped. For what he was expected to be, he's flopped massively. Probably more than anyone else.
But what was he expected to be? Was he expected to keep them?
Right,
up?
At one point he was the golden boy. You know what I mean?
I think he arrived now, just play some football. Yeah. And like sort of rehabilitation in rather than coming glitz and glamour. Rather,
I thought about that. I thought because it's a loan. But they may still stay up.
But he barely gets into the team.
He was shocking.
He's gone back now, hasn't he?
He has gone back, yeah.
There you go. But then, I thought about... There's other players who maybe aren't as big names, but are kind of like that Suarez guy at Southampton, the right back. I think he's been poor.
He was born last year.
Sorry,
wasn't he?
How many does he get? Because he may say one of mine.
Yeah.
Well, and I just want to say... I was going to say Klassen as well. But I'm going to go with Sanchez.
Sanchez. Yeah. Zeke?
I was going to say Klassen.
Klassen's one of my four.
That guy what, played six games.
He's
weird.
He's one of my four.
Yeah, but in lieu of G already saying that, I'm going to go with Joe Hart.
Oh,
I know it's a loan. I know it's a loan as well, but come on, man. You've been doing it for how many years in the Prem? Why are you so bad? Why are you so bad? You've had a holiday in Italy. I don't get it. So for me, I'm going to go with Joe Hart.
Awesome. Mark?
I went for Siggy. He was my signing of the season at Swansea. Mm. £15 million, nowhere near the level he should be. And for me, it highlights my guy can only do it when the chips are down in sort of those lower league teams. When he's at a reasonable club, it just engulfs him. So I went for him because Klassen, fair enough, is a flop. I agree 100% with George, but Sigurdsson has done it in the league. He had a huff and puff when they didn't let him go. Mm. Coleman fought and fought to get him, and look how that's all worked out. It's got to be Sigurdsson for me.
So I've got Bakayoko, Klassen, Sigurdsson, and Lindelof. I think he's not even playing.
Lindelof is in there for me as well.
He's not even playing.
I had Bakayoko on my list. Lindelof, I think if you go back and you've... Fair enough, he hasn't played in a long game.
If you're playing and you're playing poor, when you're not even in the team.
Nah, but I think if you look, he's getting better. Now, yeah. I'm not a fan because I think he's keeping a lot of the youngsters back. Mm. But, I mean, Bakayoko and Sigurdsson are much worse than him. I mean, Bakayoko,
I don't know that he is, you know. I think Bakayoko.
It's definitely Bakayoko.
No, Bakayoko has a spotlight on him, no doubt. But I think
there's a reason for that.
Well, yeah, you know, but we won't talk about that online. No, but I think Lindelof has been pretty poor as well. Put it like this: they're both in the teams for the worst of it. What I would say, I mean, it's always difficult to look at value over one season. If Bakayoko was to leave this season, then you'd have to say it's terrible. But I'm still willing to give him till next year.
All right.
And up top, I'm putting Morata in there as well. I see all these things where people are like, "Oh, Morata's had a good season," and talk
Who's
about
saying that.
I saw Letizia's Letizia and Tomo did their flops and successes of the season and Morata was the only one that got a hit. Wow. And I just think, why? Like, why does he get a pass and no one else does? So he's done poor for me. So he should be in that worst team.
George,
as well.
Moving forward, can you kind of just nail G down and stuff? He keeps doing a short list. Oh, I've got this person, man, this person on my list, blah, blah, blah.
I want to talk in it.
Finally, let's just go through player who's changed our mind positively or negative about him. I'll start this one. I'm going to go for Arnautovic, because the start of the season he was my signing to flop. Picked him out as the guy. I thought it was an awful signing, a very West Ham-esque signing. I didn't think he would do more than one good performance every four or five games, but to be fair, he's pretty much kept West Ham up. So you know, I'm a fair man. I've gone with Arnautovic. Who's the player that's changed your mind this season?
One player. I'll go for Ashley Young. I didn't see him playing at fullback. I didn't see him playing at all, and he's kind of he's got himself into the team and made himself a mainstay. So yeah, I'd go with that. No honorable mentions as people start crying.
We just want a chance.
you've just graduated in school of life there.
Marvin, who's a player that's changed your mind about him?
I've gone for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I'm really upset that he's going to miss the World Cup. It's a real shame for him, because he's going to miss the Champions League final. Mm-hmm. I didn't have him down as a flop, but I had him... Like, I could have seen his career go exactly the way Theo Walcott's career is currently going. Move to another club, not really stand out, not make the World Cup. Is he really a good player, or was he a good player that Arsenal ruined? But he's gone to Liverpool, he's broken into that team, he's kept Ronaldo out and other people out of that team. I thought in the last sort of 2-3 months before he got injured, he was a very integral piece of Liverpool's team, especially when they beat City. So he's just really changed my mind. I wish him well, I hope he gets fit and better, and I wish him the best of luck for the future.
Okay, and finally, Zeke, who's the player that has changed your mind about him this season?
First of all, good shout on Ox there.
Agreed.
Yeah, I hope he does mend well. For me, I'm going with Troy Deeney. And on a negative.
Yeah, fair play.
Do you know why? Because before, I always rated him quite highly in being like a captain's captain. I just loved the way he put the club on his shoulders. He was about, let's just get it done and carrying them forward. But he just turned out to be a bit of a prick, didn't he? I don't actually like you. You just keep going really cocky. The signs were there when he was dabbing when they beat us 3-1. You know what I mean? For Pogba.
This is the real reason.
No. And even after that, I thought, I rate you, Troy, but just play your football. You haven't had a great season, and he's just been talking too much. And I've gone off him for that reason.
It's not a bad shot indeed. Before we go on to our next segment, guys, I did mention at the top there that we must wish Salix Ferguson very, very well.
Over
the weekend, he was taken to hospital urgently and suffering a brain hemorrhage, and the surgery he had immediately, we're told, went well. So, great manager in English history, one of the greatest in football history. And I think, you know, rivalries will kind of go to one side when we kind of talk about people's health, and especially someone like him that's had an impact on the Premier League and football. We wish him a speedy recovery as well. Let's move on now, guys. I want to talk about Fulham. Now, I know they're not in the Premier League, but I'm hoping they come to the Premier League. And I've got Jack from Fulhamish Podcast on the line here to talk to us a little bit about their season and some of their key players. Jack, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, mate. How you getting on?
Very well, sir. Very well. Thanks for coming on the FFP, dude.
No problem.
You're looking good for coming up via the playoffs this season. What's been the success this year to Fulham's success?
Well, I mean, we started the season very slowly. It was after last year's kind of playoff hangover, I suppose, is the one way of putting it. We just sort of didn't get going. And a lot of that has been put down to managerial things, stuff behind the scenes at the club. But since sort of December, and when Jankovic really got a hold back on things and the kind of backroom divisions all got sorted out, it's been mad. We went 23 undefeated until yesterday, which is obviously a shame. But that run in itself has been, you know, the majority of our season. And it looks really good on paper, but also we just played really good football. And we just out-football teams all over the country. And we managed to put ourselves from 17th up to third, and we had a shot at going second yesterday. Yeah. And obviously that wasn't to be. But, you know, even to be in this position, if you'd offered us playoffs at Christmas, we would have snatched a hand off for it. So it's one of those where, it's not been ideal this last week, but ultimately we're just really pleased to be where we are, I think.
And Jack, tell us a little bit about Ryan Sessegnon, because he's a Championship Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, Apprentice of the Year, and he was named in the Team of the Season as well. How good is he? And is he like the new Gareth Bale? Because didn't he start off at like left back, then left wing back? Now he's a winger, and then he's kind of up team in the final third a lot as well. Is there kind of a correlation between Bale's progression at Tottenham and the way he's looking?
I mean, I think there is, in terms of obviously he's moved his way up the left-hand side. But I don't think... I think that's about as far as it goes. So, like, they're not similar players in kind of any other way. They... Obviously, Bale is a physical specimen and he's very, very fast, very strong, very good in the air. Sessegnon's not really that. The player I would most align Sessegnon to is someone like Thomas Muller. He's kind of like a penalty box poacher. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time. Mm. And what he does is he does the really simple stuff well. He doesn't, you know, there's no flicks and tricks. He's a give and go kind of player. He will go at his man direct, but he will just go around the outside. And he's just really good over 10 yards. So, you know, when the keeper spills something or if he sees that there is a gap at the back post, he's the one always darting in. And he has that kind of instinct that, you know, Muller had to get at the back post and really start to, you know, put chances away. And that's been so key to his success this season.
Do you think it's important that you do get promoted this season, because you may lose him in the summer? You may lose some of those key players in the summer, which could harm your chances next year of trying to get promoted again.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I think weirdly that Sessegnon's one of the most likely players to stay even if we don't go up, because he's spoken at length, his twin brothers in the Fulham system as well, Stephen, and he's spoken at length about how he wants to play for Fulham with his brother. And he has said in the Premier League, but I think that he knows how young he is. His elder brother is his agent and looks after them, and they've all been at Fulham since they were sort of 9 or 10. And I think that growing up within that system and becoming such a key player at the club is, you know, quite crucial. And I think that he knows he's going to have opportunities to move places in his life, and this isn't going to be the end of it. One of the things I've been saying to people is that when people were talking about him going to this World Cup, if he went to the next World Cup, he'd be 21. And, you know, you're still looking at going, you're bringing a 21-year-old to the World Cup, you're going, wow, we're taking a bit of a gamble on this 21-year-old, aren't we? But at that point, Sessegnon will have had 6 seasons of experience under his belt. Mm. And I think that he knows that right now he needs to be playing games for his development. And he's not going to get that at a top club right now. So I think that there's a point where you go, do you just stay where you are, where you're comfortable, where your family are based, and in a system that you know very well and you know appreciates you, and you're going to get minutes week in, week out, as opposed to, you know, the places where he'd get minutes in the Premier League are the likes of, you know, Everton, Southampton, maybe those kind of clubs that are known for bringing through younger players. But it doesn't seem like, you know, obviously it's Premier League football, but it doesn't seem like the biggest step up, and it doesn't seem like a risk that he might take at this age, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. And just finally, Jack, whenever I know a lot of people that talk to me about like their kids, and it was in London, and they always talk about their kids playing football, and they kind of always kind of migrate towards your academy. You've got clearly one of the best youth academies in the country, probably. What is it about Fulham's academy that is so good, and what are you doing better than the majority of other clubs, especially in London?
Well, so the head of our academy is Steve Wigley, who we pinched off Southampton, who was responsible for the likes of Bale, Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain, all those coming through, Lallana, all those coming through the Southampton academy and going on to forge, you know, really good careers at the top level. And I think that's a huge part of it. And it's, you know, that kind of family feel, I suppose, that's at Fulham. It's a small club. It always has been a small club, and it always has been a family club. And it's one of those things where you look at our youth systems and all those kind of progressive things, and they're all very tight-knit. You know, all the teams, all the under-9s, 10s and 11s will go on tour together, and they'll build bridges. And then by the time they're playing for the under-16s, and if you've got players from a couple of age groups there, their mesh is already there. You know, they already know the players they're around, even if they're not necessarily in the same bracket. And, you know, all those kind of things, coupled with the fact that it seems like a very, very tight squad, and and the people running it, you know, the boys who work in the first team are always down with the academy boys. They're always there, willing to give that kind of little bit back. And I suppose that's what differs us from a top level club, because you can't be doing that if you're paying £150 million for a, you know, sign-in. You don't want him going and playing time with the kids. Like, you want him being on a pitch at top level. But, you know, with us, the likes of Tom Kearney and co, who are, you know, still very good players and obviously have a lot to offer, are there, you know, showing people what to do on a daily basis. And Jukanović seems to have no qualms with bringing through players from the academy into the first team squad. And we've seen the likes of 16-year-old Matt O'Reilly getting first team minutes this year, obviously Steven Sessegnon, Tayo Eden, Luca De La Torre. They've all come through this year and got minutes, and maybe not as much as people would have liked, especially in the first half of the season when we weren't doing as well as was hoped. But, you know, the fact that they're even getting minutes at all, especially O'Reilly at 16, he made his first team debut at 15. You know, he's, you know, they're getting these moments to shine early on, and I suppose that's, you know, testament to the academy's work. But also, if you're a 13-year-old, 14-year-old going, oh, where am I going to maybe have a look in at London? You know, I look at Fulham, you know, their 16-year-old has just been voted the best player in the country. Like, you know, that's got to be a massive bonus, a massive incentive for us.
Definitely, definitely. Listen, Jack, I really hope Fulham do get promoted this season, because I've not been to your ground, but I'm told by everybody that it's
best
a really,
away day.
Yeah,
best
my, away day. Marvin here loves your ground.
It's a gorgeous away day by the river.
Yeah, no, I want to get down there. Hopefully, you can get promoted. Jack, where can people find your podcast?
At Fulhamish Pod, pretty much across all the platforms. Jack, everywhere we are.
Nice one, Jack. Cheers for coming on, pal. Take care.
Thanks a lot, boys.
Take care. Man. Cheers. Right, guys, let's now talk about the season. Let's have a little bit of a review of the season. And something that kind of struck me when I was looking at the table a few days ago was that Manchester City, the champions, could win the league by 20 points, yet 35 points might be also enough to keep teams in the Premier League. I just wondered to myself, like, is there anything kind of in that, that you've got a team at the top that's kind of, you know, could go miles clear of second, the team that finishes in second, and yet you've kind of got this kind of bunched up kind of pack at the bottom, which kind of, I suppose, spreads the points out. Zeke, is anything, am I reading too much into this, or is there something that we should be worried about, that only 35 points can keep you in the league?
No, it's a good bit of insight, really. I think if I am going to try and make sense of it, I think the only thing that jumps out at me is I'm going to talk about the money in the Premier League now, because I do feel like a lot of clubs kind of gave up in terms of this. In specific case of Man City, I feel like they walked over a lot of teams. And maybe if you're not in a relegation fight, or you're not battling for the title, or you're not trying to chase European football, we're going to get a good fat wedge at the end of the season anyway. You know, so there's less, you know, jumping for places or trying to.
Teams got complacent and just
They're not looking who's above them, who's below them. If you're kind of in that mid-table vibe, you're like, what's the point? So when City come away or come to your ground, you're thinking probably going to lose. Hey, look, I'm not, you know, accusing anyone of that, but if we are going to look at what has changed, because what you've highlighted is a bit sorry in terms of the competitive nature or the lack of competition in the league. So it must be most teams are just thinking, you know, what are we competing for? So, you know, are we going to go for a cup run, or do we just reserve our? I don't know, but I think I would look at the money. That's where I would go for it.
And how it's spent? The prize money.
The prize just money. There's a lot of money, in it now. So as long as you're sort of part of the club, you're going to get paid rather than having to play for your check, as it was back in the day.
Do you think there should be a minimum threshold to stay in the league, and would that help teams go for more wins? You've got to get 44 points. If you don't, you go down.
And everyone goes down, and then they promote all new people?
Yeah, so if 16 finish below 44 points, you bring 6 from the championship.
I mean,
then you've got to go for wins.
It is pretty radical, and I guess the reality is it probably would have an impact for 2 or 3 years, as all of these radical ideas would. But then I think there would be another way where people like, you know, like people like Stoke and West Brom will find a way to make even that boring. Like go for 10 1-0 wins and then not try to play for the rest of the season. I don't know that that's that's the answer. I'd like to see a bit more of natural competition and entertainment come back into the Premier League. You would think that.
So how about a goals award then?
A goals award. What?
Yeah. So if linked with the points. If you score a certain amount of goals, that counts for something.
George, why does it always have to be a fantasy? Why can't it just be something that's actually going to come into play?
If Zeke is right, and I think he is right, that too many teams just settle for the bare minimum and don't try to score. And there's clearly teams that don't try to score and win games. Give them an incentive. Say, listen, okay, we want to see good football. We want to see goals. You'll see the Stokes and the West Broms having to score 2, 3, 4 goals.
Or at least try. It's funny because I was out in America a couple of weeks back, and someone said to me, "Why don't you guys just take away draws? That would make your sport more entertaining." And look, you're nodding your head. You can't take away draws.
You can.
You can't take it away.
We'll play to there's a winner. Why can't we do it?
But you get the point. There's got to be something done
to kind of make sure that. The league is pretty boring.
It is pretty boring. I go back. I agree with what Zeke said to an extent, and that I think it is to a certain extent the money ruining it. And I think we need to get to a point in the league, not just at the lower, the whole league, where money isn't. Where money isn't so consequential, and that there is that the element of entertainment and sportsmanship doesn't get lost, because I think that's what it is now. It's too business focused, and when it's too business focused. You get these. Mm. You get what we've got now in the league.
On your targets, Marvin, is City winning the league potentially by 20 points? Is that an anomaly? And do you remember the days when kind of the mantra 40 points keeps you up? Get your 40 points. Does the fact that now has gone down to possibly 35 points worry you as well?
Yeah, Jordan. Everything you said worries me. To be honest with you, I mean, it shows about my love of the game how. Uninterested I've been from the top six down, top five down, because Arsenal haven't interested me, right? Like, it's crazy. When I looked at the league, I think Palace finished like 11th or something with might finish like top half with 41. Mm. And I think the bottom line is you've got City, you've got the pretend competitors, which are United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs. Mm-hmm. You've got the people that won't go down, which are Arsenal, Burnley,
Everton.
Yeah, Everton.
You're just
Leicester.
accepted Arsenal being in that.
Well, I'm not going to argue, am I? That's kind of where we are.
And then you've got the rest that are living by the mantra that you set, which is 40. I can't believe that 41 gets you top half of the league. Mm. Like, it is crazy. Mm. And I think it's a damning indictment. I think actually people like myself have finally had to get their head out their arse about the Prem being the best to watch and all that crap, because I think we only think that because every now and again Brighton pop up and beat Man United and it doesn't follow the form guide. But other than that, I mean, I've watched games where I've literally couldn't find the remote, so I've just watched it. But you know, if I had any energy, I'd have changed maybe gone to the park or you know, watched EastEnders. I hear, you know, Mel's back. So it's just one of those things where...
Blonde Mel?
Yeah.
Phil's ex-Mel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice, yeah.
Football Fans Podcast, yeah?
But yeah, the bottom line is, like, I think the bottom line is the Prem has been shit this year. City have been the standout performers. They deserve it. And everyone else, apart from the people that got promoted, who have stayed up... Mm. Everyone else should be ashamed of themselves.
Zeke, has the Prem been shit, or have City just been so phenomenal? They've taken the points of everybody else that United, the five below, haven't taken. So it's
four below.
The five below. So it looks four. Distorted because City have been so eating up all the points.
No, I think it's a mix of both, you know, because I think I don't want to take away from City's performance and how they've gone about doing their business this season. It's been really good. I don't feel they'll replicate that next season. But
why?
I just don't.
Can you give me a reason why?
No, I just don't.
It's a fair point, but because can you back it up?
We've seen, okay, well, just
two separate points. Just to address that question, I think over the last how many years there hasn't been a team that has sort of won the league back to back. You know, there hasn't been like a ongoing dynasty like a United as we did a little while back, in Chelsea to an extent. And I feel that's because once they've reached a level and they've performed at a level, it's naturally going to be harder again to do that again. Do you know what I mean? Their focus next year might be Champions League. We'll see, but I think they've set the bar so high I'm not confident they'll be able to do the same. They may be competitive and closer to everybody else, or we get closer to them. But no, I don't see them doing what they did this year again. And the main reason I say that is because, jumping back to your previous question, was the rest of the league shit or were City that good? I think it's the former. Rest of the league were shit, because we pretty much wrapped up before Christmas for City. Everyone, media, pundits, they're gonna do it. They've won the league. You know, they're going to go undefeated, and that sort of rhetoric, it gets into the league, it gets people thinking, alright, if City come,
really?
I believe
or was it the other way around?
No, I believe
the team
so.
Showing the signs they were bending over and the media reacted to that.
No, because
we can't decide. I can't make Arsenal play crap. No, you can't make Chelsea play crap.
No, I believe it is, it was you guys that were talking and bigging up City so much. We built them up to be this invincible machine before Christmas, before December.
Nonsense. The media commented on what was happening. What was happening was that City were looking like it would be wrapped up by Christmas.
So what if I were
That's what happened.
So if it was me, I would have said, my line of coverage would have been, what do teams do to beat City?
I think that was discussed.
No, it was very much City are untouchable, they're going to blow teams away. They're going to be undefeated. They've won the league.
Even if that was the rhetoric, again, how does that impact on United losing to Huddersfield? How does me saying City is so
not,
good impact on
Chelsea
losing to
It's not a United
to
thing. I think it's the case that the league was shit, and it's specific to Man City, because United, we were second to City, and you know, we won a game, lost a game against them. Naturally, if the league was more competitive, we would have been closer to City.
So what's that got to do with the media's commentating on what was happening at the time?
Because the league is shit this year.
Yeah.
And I feel the fact that I said the media, but I'll encompass everybody into it. December, the league wrapped up for City, in my opinion. Because that's what the discussion was. That's what the vibe was. You know,
so
City are running away.
You think City just fulfilled the prophecy?
Pretty much. And I feel they were given a helping hand by the rest of the league.
By the rest of the league,
You know, it's over. They all said it's over, so we lay down. And if you're in a competitive league, doesn't matter if you think it's over, 11 guys are still going to come to your pitch. You're still going to try and take points off of them. And I don't think that happened enough. And that's the reason why I'd say it was a shit.
Well, you know
what?
I agree with Zeke. I don't think City will do it again, because the target's on their backs now, right? Everybody wants to beat the champions. That's why Chelsea have struggled to ever repeat, because they haven't got the stones to follow it up. Whenever
hold on, we have
the mental fortitude.
You have once, but let's talk about the last two wins, G. That it's been a stone sinking, right? And for me, I think the bottom line is also, I think some of the key components of City are a year older. I think David Silva, you know, company, those guys are you know those guys are coming to the end of the career. So I don't think it will be as big a run as it was this year. That being said, Man United was second. Everybody thinks Man United were quite poor to watch. So that says if the second best team doesn't have many plaudits, it kind of tells you everything you need to know about the way that the season went. I mean, my concern really is that, you know, the way City are playing, that, you know, it, as Zeke said, it could be a mental thing where, as we've talked about in the last pod, people turn up and expect to get beat. I think the other reason why I'm not Team City, obviously the fact I'm United at one point, but
no, I hope not.
I've said it before, others have said it, City can be got, right? Their back line,
we saw that last few weeks,
their back line is not amazing. It's good. It's very good, but I think we've seen it with Liverpool. We saw it with United. Huddersfield had a little nibble. Like, you know, like, they can be got. And I think, you know, fair play to Pep. I think he knows that. I think that's why he made a signing in Jan. You don't know what's going to happen with John Stones. It wouldn't surprise me if they sign another centre-back, maybe another left-back. You never know.
Why would they buy... I mean...
Well, they were playing Delft there for a while, weren't it?
No, I mean...
Yeah.
So I think they're short there, aren't they?
I mean, Pep has done a good job, but I think he had a team there that could have done... to an extent what they've done in terms of winning the league
without his signings. I don't know about that.
Well, they would have I'm not saying they would have done it by 20 points as they could.
I'm agreeing, they did do that without his signings. They were winning the leagues. They'd won two before.
But no, right, he's talking about if this summer Pep signed no one, you still think he would win the league.
They would have been capable of doing the league.
Not without that goalkeeper has been integral. I think if you don't sign him, I don't think you win the league.
Okay, I'll take Edison to be fair.
I don't think you win the league.
But then the rest, who have been their best performers this season? They were all.
I think Carl
there.
Walker's been solid as well. Mendy got injured.
Carl Walker's been important.
I got to fight you on that one.
Everyone has contributed, but in terms of
you're saying they could have plugged other players in and still won.
Exactly.
But is that about them or is that just about everyone else's shitness?
No, I just think again, throwback to the start of that, it was the signings were made for the Champions League.
Think it's a failure of a season?
I don't want to put that one in there. But, you know what I mean?
Stand by your word. That might be
Jules'
tagline there.
They have
failed,
failed to deliver based on what they
So should Pep go, Jonesy?
Gee, let's look at the other end of the table. Is Wolves coming into the Premier League next season and they're effectively replacing Stoke?
Yeah.
Is that going to bring some quality to the bottom end of the table? I think Wolves are going to actually rip it up next year in terms of, I think they'll be comfortable top 10. But is that a team that we want in the Prem? Because they're going to spend big money, they're going to bring attacking players, and they're going to, it's one crappy team that doesn't play football out, and it's one good team coming in.
I've been watching the last couple of weeks of the Championship, and I liked Wolves, you know. Yeah. I really enjoyed watching it.
They're on bits.
I really enjoyed like that little rivalry between Nuno.
Warnock and Nuno.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I want to see that, and I think that will add a dimension. I think in Cardiff as well, I think those two teams will add a different dimension to the league. So, yeah, it would be nice to see a few more teams who kind of come up and have a go at it, not just financially but also from a style of play.
And ergo Fulham, that's why I hope Fulham can't, because Fulham actually play ball.
Exactly. And it seems too many. I mean, you know what, we've got to give praise to the teams that have come up this year, but they have all kind of done it in a very
pragmatic,
measured way. And yeah, I can't wait to see what Wolves are going to do. In fact, I think from what I understand of their financial capabilities, they might actually be competing not just with teams around the relegation zone in terms of getting players. I think they might actually be trying to look at some of the players at the higher end of the league as well.
I agree. Totally.
So, I can't wait to see them in the league.
You guys are...
Shut up,
you guys. You guys are living in a fantasy
world. I think Wolves are going to rip it up next year.
Let me tell you, Warnock's going to get sacked. He said
he won't mention the Premier League again, didn't he? So he might step down anyway.
He won't step down. It will be standard procedure to get sacked. I think one thing I agree with is doesn't matter who goes up in the playoffs, they're footballing cities like Derby, Borough, Villa. Like they all sort of have a rightful claim to be of a Prem level when you think about the likes of Bournemouth, Brighton, Stoke, where they're not filling their ground half the time.
I'm surprised you didn't say Burnley again.
Yeah, for real.
Fair play to Burnley. Yeah. I mean, they've had a great season. I'm someone that's honest.
Town,
but what I will say is, don't let the Prem fool you. Like the gap between the Championship and the Prem, regardless of money, like you're saying, they've got the cash. Will they get the players? Like, we're not talking of, they're not a London club. I think if you take that money and put it to Fulham, they've got a better chance. But I don't think, I think actually, is it Nieves, the guy who's just been tearing up? I think he might be gone in the summer. You never know.
But if they can pay him what he probably can get elsewhere.
George, the bottom line is, right, I know you are really excited about him, but if they think anything else, then stay up. They're on the road.
I don't know.
Let me tell you, I love the way they play, and I think it's going to be exciting for them. But top 10 is ridiculous. I would be very surprised.
I don't think top 10, because like you said, 41 points gets you top 10 now.
Yeah,
I think they could do a Middlesbrough. like what Middlesbrough did back in the, when they had
Ravanelli and that.
That's a good shout.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm happy to be like, give me some spice, give me something different, because I'm flagging here. I'm counting down. It's 123 days to the NFL season.
Killed your spirit.
Everybody's killed my spirit. But what I will say is, I think that I'm excited for the three coming up, because I think the three they'll replace, regardless of who goes down, probably shouldn't have been there. I'm really hoping Huddersfield go down. They are not a Prem club by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll see. We'll see.
Let's move on now, gentlemen. Let's talk about Jose at Man United. Some responses from some of our listeners and followers on social media. And on Facebook, we had a post from Christian Rainford in response to our question, is Jose being harshly treated at United? He says, I don't think they have been. I don't think they have. He calls himself a special one. He's made a reputation and crossed for his own back. If he doesn't match that, it's his own fault. Of the top four teams, as well as Man United play, the least attractive football. It's his arrogance and his hypocrisy I hate the most. So it's a bit of a rant there rather than a question. And we had another message here from Jones, who responded with, not really. Some of the criticisms have been self-inflicted. He got some of his tactics completely wrong. His criticism of his players in public, his response to getting knocked out of the Champions League. I can go on and on and on. Do you think that he's right in thinking that I'm doing a good job in turning around the mess that happened under Moyes and LVG? This year they could beat your mob in the final, could be another trophy.
They can't.
It could, okay. And it could be second. So technically he has improved United. Do you buy the argument that it was never going to be a quick fix after to undo the work that Moyes and Van Gaal did? It was going to take time. He needs more money.
And what Ferguson left as well.
Ferguson left. Or do you think that he should have done better even in the 2 years than he's done?
He should have done better. I would say if you separated the question into the two entities, I think Man United probably look at this as reasonable progress. But Jose has to look at himself and say he should have done better. I think he's probably suffering a bit of a hangover from what's happened at Chelsea, because people said, okay, what happened at Chelsea? Was it the players or was it him? Did he get left with a bunch of sulky Susans and he needed to step away from that?
Yes.
But the truth is, I think he's had a lot of resources given to him. I think the club have backed him. I think I look at Martial and Rashford and think they haven't really. I mean, Rashford has got games. If you give him statistics, you'll say, well, Rashford has probably got more minutes than he did under any other manager or something. You know, Jose will always find a stat to back that up. But actually, has his game come along in the 2 years Jose's been there? I would say no. So yeah, Man United as a club will probably say, okay, we're getting back closer to where we have before. But Jose, because of the standards that he's set himself in the past and because of the way he talks, you can't call Wenger a specialist a failure.
Heritage talk and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. He has to look at it to say he's underachieved. Not to say underachieved so much far that he sacks, but I actually think he has to win the league next year, or his United career might be over.
Omar, do you agree? Do you think that, you know, he has underachieved in the 2 years, and next year it needs to be a title, whatever style he brings it in, or he's got to go?
I mean, George, you said it. City might win it by 20 points this year. Simple as that. So every criticism he's got is pretty fair, in my opinion. I guess the reason why I'm on the fence a little bit is because I do think the media has been particularly harsh. I think the heritage stuff was blown way up, you know. I think a lot of the things he said, if another manager had said it, not forget about Man United, just I think the media have been baying for Jose. You know that I was a bit scared, a bit like what G just said, that Chelsea robbed the man of his soul. Like he's sort of a shell of that guy that ran down the United touchline when Porto knocked us out. So
is that Chelsea, or is he just grown up and matured?
No,
we all change a little bit as we get older.
You know what, I still think, and G will probably correct me, but I still think he felt sort of stabbed in the back the way the second season went at Chelsea by both the players and the administration.
And the media as well.
Yeah, and I felt like he's been like a grudged ex-girlfriend ever since on that sort of thing. So the reason why I'm on the fence is because I don't think the media have helped. I think they have amplified it. I think where I sort of get annoyed with the United talk is just other fans. Like, if you're not a City fan, you can't say shit to me. Simple as that, right? As far as I'm concerned, yeah, we've underachieved, but we're better than you. Very simple. And don't quote money to me, because everyone's spending big bucks. As you just talked about Arnautović, 24 million is nothing now. It's big money.
Everyone's spending big bucks, but there's big bucks and then there's United big
George,
bucks.
Let me be very clear, right? I need to be very, Tottenham. Very clear, because I can't, like...
Go on.
We spent big bucks. Other teams spent big bucks.
No.
Listen to me. Other teams spent big bucks. City, they're the only team where their big bucks have performed better than us. So I'm going to say it one more time. If you do not support City, the criticism that you're giving to United, you need to look in the mirror. An Arsenal fan coming to me, Arsenal fan coming to me talking about United is a stupid man. Liverpool, fair enough, Champions League, pat on your back. Spurs fans have been unbearable this season. They are going on like they have... They didn't just get knocked out by United, that they beat us by multiple points, like Lucas Moura's paying off. Don't chat shit to me. Very simple. It's annoying. It's annoying because I'm annoyed at United and I'm not happy with the way the season's gone. I'll be the first to tell you, if we're going to rank them again, they'll probably get a D+ this year from an F that they got last year, right? Because the club that I expect, I am not getting it, right? We are not a team that talk about top four. We should always be contesting for the league and we should always be tight. But if you're not a City fan, don't chat shit to me.
I'm going to bring in Z, which before I do, the money thing I think is relevant, Marvin, because, yeah, big teams are spending big bucks, but there's a considerable difference between the United spending and Tottenham and Liverpool and Arsenal.
But we've done better than them.
You have.
So simple. The money counts.
Not considerably better than
them. Exactly. And for the money you're spending, are you getting anywhere near to what you want to achieve?
George, if you actually look at the money, right, that's being spent.
Spurs can say, for what we spend, we should be around fourth, third, great. Liverpool can say, for what we spend, we should be around third, fourth. Second would be brilliant. For what United are spending, second is minimum. And when you're possibly 20 points off the top, that's bad.
Jude, and as far as I'm concerned,
there's a difference.
Lindelof aside, I wouldn't say many of Jose's signings haven't been the right ones, right? Mm-hmm. I think the problem that we have at the moment is, as G mentioned, and why Jose gets criticism from me, is we're talking about the stifling of youngsters. I think the Luke Shaw treatment, I actually think the media did well there. I'm appalled by the way he's been treated. He's a much better player of long run than Ashley Young is ever going to be at that position. Rashford, as G said, minutes. But if you look at Rashford and Martial under LVG,
the trajectory was
someone like Jose, you thought would take him to the next level. In fact, they've gone down levels and they are players that are playing within themselves, a lot more concerned about tracking back or getting slighted by Jose than going on and just playing with a free spirit. When they do that, like Rashford did against Liverpool, you can see the potentials there. And that's why I don't think, I disagree with G in terms of this progression and everything, because a lot of the players that I was most excited about are actually regressing, and that's a big concern for me.
Zeke, do you think the media and football fans have been harsh on United, or are they rightly holding United to the standards of which, well, they once were, once were being held to?
You pretty much just hit the nail on the head for my point, in a sense that I think, first of all, Marvin, you're right. It's hot out there, like, when the sun's out, Marvin gets a bit heated. It got so hot in here, I put my sunglasses on just a second ago. I'm blazing.
I'm happy, yeah, but like, we're all friends around this table, and G, Jordan, Michael, there's others out there, yeah. And let me tell you, like, you know me, I'm in multiple football WhatsApp chats with a lot of you guys. It's always United, United, United. How much of a waste is this? How much of a waste is that? Have you seen Granit Xhaka?
Sorry,
what are we doing here? Have you seen how Hazard's playing? Sorry, like, you guys, all I ask is, before you come to my door, look in the mirror. Look very hard in that mirror and know that you are also in dire straits, right? G, don't G.
Get back to my point now.
We won a title last year.
Yeah.
Which one last title?
I
Zeke. Can you, when you edit this, can you put that Michael Jackson Man in the Mirror song when you sing that? Just in the background. Anyway, let's take a look at yourself in the mirror.
Can we do that?
Okay, we can do that.
Make that change.
Marv is pissed.
Look at yourself in the mirror. Are you ready? Anyways, where was I? So yes, I think Jordan, what you said there is about the standard, isn't it? I think yeah, the answer is yes. I think Jose and United have been harshly judged, definitely.
But that's not what I said. I was asking the question: should they be harshly judged because of the standards that United have set?
Well, first of all, they are being harshly judged. Okay. Period. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because the expectations for Manchester United are so much higher than everyone else because of our legacy and what we have achieved.
Well, then it's not
the
harsh, then, is it? It's harsh if the, if it's no, harsh to judge Stoke.
Let me finish my point before I get Marvin on you.
Go
yeah.
On.
I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for you.
And then, secondly, Jose being Jose in a character that he has and his history and how he's come out and how he's spoken and his reputation, that is the reason why he's harshly judged. You know, so I understand it's the nature of the beast. It is. However, if we're talking about football, right, and we look at it for what it is, then you have to say Jose's done a good job at United. It's not the job we want him to do because the expectations are so high, but he has done a good job. And yes, we have to look back. We have to look back through the last few seasons as to where we were. So a sensible mind will say, let's just taper our expectations a bit because, damn, that was a scary few years that we had, you know? And then Jose's job to come in with what he had to start with. I know we look at the individual players and say, oh, these guys are all superstars. But for me, a club is about it's about energy, it's about a vibe in the team. And clearly, if we're going to compare City and United, Pep came in to something that was already there, in a sense, whereas Jose is coming in to really do some surgery and repairs and still trying to get them to compete at this level of expectations that the world has. So that's a harder job to do. And in that sense, when I look at it like that, I think Jose, good job. The only pain spot for me this season really was the Champions League, because the way we fully like just flopped that was poor, right?
Or in line with your heritage, depending on how
so
you
see. Let me ask you.
See, generally, you're saying your only pain point of this season for United is the Champions League.
I put it all into perspective, really. For the Champions League, I wanted us to do a lot better there. Right?
So you've been happy with the Prem?
No, I haven't been happy with the Prem, but that's not what I'm saying. But I'm not going to stand on a hill and say, shoot Jose, shoot the player, shoot United. Right? I'm going to say we have not done enough this season. Right. However, relative to where we were and what we're trying to do, it's a good job. Because there are trophies in the cabinet, okay? And the only reason why it's United, United, United is because of we are United. And it's because Manchester City are doing a madness.
But then here's the thing.
I mean,
I'll let you come back in. Here's the thing, though. United fans make me laugh because you've both just said that, or you both kind of inferred, Marvin actually said it, that a lot of non-United fans bang on all the time chatting about United, 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 United. But United fans always go on about being the biggest club in the world. So you can't have it both ways. Either you're the biggest club in the world, in which case the standards are high and the attention is on you, in which case everyone will be talking about United because they expect big things.
You're right.
Or you're not the big club anymore and we shouldn't talk about you anymore.
No, but Jordan, you are
You can't complain when people talk about you.
We do talk like that. But the thing is, I can only speak for myself. So when people are coming at United, I'm like, that's your opinion. But I'm content. Right.
So you're a happy United fan?
No, I'm not. I've not said I'm happy.
No, I'm asking. So you're an unhappy United fan?
I'm never said unhappy.
I
am a United fan, right? And I'm truly looking to see where we go with this, right? You can't Jose right. This season, you can't say he's had there's been way too many bullets flying our way.
But I look at over 2 years. He's been there 2 years now. Over the 2 years, has Jose Mourinho done an acceptable job as Manchester United manager?
Yes.
He has.
Yes.
Marvin, do you agree?
Absolutely not.
G, do you agree?
No, he's gone below standards.
So let me break it down.
But can I had to do some surgery as well, you know?
He did.
You're going on
let me break it down for you. Zeke, are you happy with the style of football over 2 years your team is playing?
The style of football.
Yeah. Do you enjoy watching the football your team plays on a Saturday?
I'm content with the production.
No. I'm going somewhere with this. Is the football that your football team is playing to your do you enjoy it?
No.
Right. Are you happy with the level of cups and competitions that you're winning?
No.
Right. Are you happy with the development of the players at your team?
No.
So why are you happy as United fan?
But the thing is, I haven't been happy about any of those things since Ferguson left.
Okay, but we're talking about Jose Mourinho.
No, but why should I be mad at Jose?
Those other guys didn't come in reputations that Jose did.
But why should I be mad at Jose?
Because he's your current manager in with big reputation.
I haven't been happy
on, a big
on that level that you've just tried to make since Ferguson left. I know how big of a job it was. I'm not even mad at David Moyes anymore. I'm a bit mad at LVG still because he's an absolute madman. But Jose, 2 years, right? We could have done better if we were competing and the rest of the league were a bit more competitive this season. It wouldn't be such a big matter for you guys to say that, oh, we've had such... City have just raised the bar so far this season that where we were or could have been has been nowhere near good enough. And then all the other teams behind us have to say the same thing. That's not just Jose, you know? So if we're going to look at it, the reason why I say we are harshly judged because there's so many things going on around in the league that if we had done that, oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How much money...
Like what?
Like you guys kiss Pochettino's arse, kiss Klopp's arse, but this is so many arses of teams where they're not anywhere near United. But
exactly. This is the reason why they do get judged differently.
Like, that's
because Tottenham are not a big club.
And like you're talking about...
Tottenham are not a big club.
You're talking about, everyone talks about United as the biggest club.
No, that's what you guys tell us.
Jude, it's not for debate. We are the biggest club in the Prem, guaranteed.
Stop crying when people hold your team.
No, it's not crying. It's about, for me... From the media perspective, I understand the criticism the media is giving, and a lot of what is being said, I agree with. I disagree with Zeke. The way Zeke talked saddened me a little bit because I think Zeke represents a lot of United fans where we are having to temper our expectations, right? Like top four, and I don't want to be that guy. I want us to go for the league every year. It shouldn't be, we're second to the best team, so you know, pat on the back. It shouldn't be like that. City should never be.
No one said that.
Okay, fair enough. No one should be as good as that. But my thing was just the distinction between the average man, so me and G, and me and the media, right? So the me and the media, like I get that it should be probably, you know, the criticism, I get that. I do think they amplify stuff a lot more than they do with other managers. And I think it is a partly a Jose vendetta, right? I do think that. But I think as a fan, that when it comes to the conversations and the bants and the stuff like that, it annoys me because I do feel like some of the fans that support the teams they do should temper that sort of conversation with me, especially Arsenal fans. I have no idea why an Arsenal fan thinks they can step to me in any way at all. We beat them home and away, right?
You did.
They are just about scraping ahead of Burnley.
And they spent 100 million on nothing effectively this season.
Yeah.
Well, let's compare it to the 300. It's all relative, isn't it?
Lacazette.
100 million on nothing
hasn't really delivered.
A waste of money.
People talk to me about Koscielny 3 years ago. Garbage. Yeah?
I mean,
Jordan Jarrett Bryan talked to me.
You say people, but...
Yeah. Petr Cech, what a signing, blah, 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 da, da, da. Garbage. Yeah? Like, all I'm saying is, sometimes you got to look at your own cracks before you analyse others. Like, let me be clear, Jordan, and you know me, I'm very, very vocal when it comes to things like this.
No way, Marvin.
If I was an Arsenal fan, yeah, I would never give it to a United fan. Never. I promise you on that.
It's not going
to
happen.
I would never give it because there is a line where you got to think, where I would say, like, I don't know many City fans, I know one, I don't say shit to him. Because I know, even when we packed them out at their own ground, I was still humble because it was a blemish. And I think people just need to know the levels of the teams they support. Simple.
G, just finally, do you think that Jose Mourinho will complete the job that he was brought in to do? And if you do, realistically, how long a timescale are we looking at?
Ooh,
Are we going to be here this time next year? And he'd be like, yeah, he's almost got there, but he needs one more year. He needs one more year. He needs a fourth year, and that's the year.
Give him 22.
Give him 22, yeah, and then a trophy.
We're talking about 3 years.
A trophy for the 22.
Exactly. or a Premier League trophy imitation.
Even I winced when I saw that.
Or a cup for the Man United emblem.
Exactly.
As well.
How's the best cup that he's won? One that we gave to him.
George, do you remember when Wenger did that?
I mean, this we've done Wenger week 2 weeks ago. Let's just stay on
but
topic.
Do you remember
please,
when
I
he
beg.
Did that, like that thing where he talked about putting on the pants before the shoes or anything like that? Do you remember when he did that?
Yeah, yeah.
If Jose had done that,
oh my god,
right. would it have been different?
Anyways, Wenger, mercy.
Yeah.
It would have been.
So Jordan.
Whatever.
In answer to your question, I think he has to do it. I think he has to do it this year because his style.
He's running out of excuses now, isn't he?
He's running out of excuses. His style of management isn't to bring on players. It's not to say you could see Martial and Rashford in 2 years' time are going to get great. So, yeah, let's wait for that to happen. Mm-hmm. He's an instant results manager and he hasn't brought instant results. Or the results that he's brought are below what the expectation is mm-hmm. of what he's supposed to bring. So, if he doesn't do it this year, he has failed. Whether United will sack him or not, I don't know, because there probably isn't like an instant replacement out there, but I would say he would have failed if he hasn't brought them a title within 3 years. I mean, if we're saying that Pep has failed because he hasn't brought them a Champions League, oh my goodness, what could we get?
No, can I very quickly, not to focus too much on time on this, but Pep has spent a lot more money than United. Right.
I'm glad you corrected yourself on the amount, because it's not a lot.
It's about 50 million more, right?
Yeah, but
on a total of 13 incoming players, right? Mm-hmm. Of which probably 12 are still there. Yeah. That, for me, for what he already had at that time, because he had De Bruyne, right? You had Fernandinho, you had Aguero.
Yeah, no, I see things. I hear this argument. Pep came into us. I think is marginal better squad than United. But really? even if we go with your line that it was much better,
Otamendi.
It's not 20, possibly 20 points better.
Yes.
That's the problem. No, for me, there's no shame in coming second to City. Right. I've always said this. I'm not giving United heat because they finished second. Mm. I'm giving you guys heat because you've come second by possibly 20
but
points.
Said there's only so
and
much
the money you've got, but the players you've got. That is embarrassing, and I'm trying to ascertain. Do we judge Jose differently to everybody else because he's Jose, or should we rightly be giving him heat?
No, based on what you've just said, that's the rest of the league not doing their part, really.
Partially. But again, I come back to my point.
But Vezic, how come they can do the rest of their jobs against you guys then?
I'm not saying we should have done it. I'm not saying we would have done it.
No, but what I'm saying
City did well. But then it's not so much of the fact that we didn't go stride for them because, they have a better squad than us. Fact.
No, but that's why.
But
I
the reason why we are so far away isn't because we haven't competed or we haven't gone stride for stride. It's because they've walked over the rest of the league.
But why couldn't you walk over the rest of the league?
Yeah, why didn't you handle your business?
But that's the point.
West Brom lost at home. Has nothing to do with Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, and Liverpool.
Have I not? I said, well done, City.
But your point is weird because you're saying City have gone so far clear because Tottenham didn't beat them at home, Arsenal beat them at home. Fine,
so
that's
why,
fine.
Well, why isn't the pod about let's give City and Pep all of their plaudits? Why is it about Jose and United?
No, we did that last week. We did the Pep thing last week. But what I'm saying is that United, with the resources they have, the money they spend, and the manager they have, should be closer to City than everybody else.
All right, we've spent money, yes. But then outside of Lukaku and Pogba, who are players, really.
You've got the best goalkeeper in the world. Yeah. You've got the best DM in the Premier League. You've got one of the youngest, best left backs in the country.
Players from Jose, under 40 million each, right? So if we're talking about money spent, right, let's not talk on a total level. Let's talk about individual players. If we had spent 75 million on a defender like Liverpool had, we would be killed for that.
I'll tell you why you wouldn't. You wouldn't if he had come good. The reason why Pogba's getting heat, because at 90 million, he hasn't fulfilled anywhere near that potential.
75 for a defender.
It was 90 million. but look where they are.
Okay.
They spend big money and look where they are.
George, I'd question you on a DM thing because I think it's just because Matic can't get forward like Fernandinho and Kante can that you're giving him.
But I don't think Fernandinho's a DM.
He's not a DM.
Fernandinho's not a DM to me.
No, but what I'm saying
Matic,
is... What I'm saying is there's just more to their games. But I think if you asked Kante, Fernandinho and Matic all to play DM, I think they both play better than him. if I'm honest. I think it's just because he's limited that he gets this DM title.
He is a failed central midfielder.
Oh, geez. You can't drop the F-bar. Jesus, mate. Tough crowd.
Okay, let's speak to our Spanish football expert, Ben, over in Madrid. Ben, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, Jordan. Thanks, and you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Just coming on again. Let's start off with El Clásico over the weekend. It finished 2-2. It looked like a really exciting game. Were Madrid doing their hardest to try and end Barca's unbeaten run, or did they have half an eye on the final, the Champions League final, and not burning themselves out or wanting to get any injuries?
Yeah, both teams gave everything, to be honest, Jordan. You know, there was talk before the game of it being a decaf Clásico because there wasn't really anything to play for. You know, Barcelona already won La Liga, Real Madrid, all right, second place to play for, and, you know, as you mentioned, ending Barcelona's run, maybe. But apart from that, you know, obviously Madrid won in the Champions League final, but the two teams pretty much gave everything, and it was as intense and as passionate as ever. And, Real Madrid gave it a really good go, I thought. I thought they played well. And, you know, refereeing decisions, controversy, probably 2-2, I thought, a fair result in the end. But definitely they gave it everything.
And can you see Gareth Bale scored the second goal, really good goal for Madrid? I think I asked you on the last pod, but do you see a future for Bale at Barcelona? Sorry, at Real Madrid even? And is his future linked with Zidane? Because a couple of years ago, I remember Zidane being really gushing about how much he loves Bale, but the fact that he doesn't seem to be a starter in that team suggests that if he is there next year, Gareth Bale might not be.
Yeah, you know, he was a surprise inclusion, to be honest, in the starting 11 for the Clásico. You know, we haven't seen him in the starting 11 for the big games recently. When he started games over the last couple of months, it's been when Real Madrid have played their second, really, in La Liga. You know, he didn't start either of the games against Bayern Munich in the Champions League. So, in a way, you know, it was a surprise to see him in the starting 11. You know, when Zidane came in, he said that it was his idea to play Bale, Benzema and Ronaldo, the BBC, up front. But he hasn't really been doing it this season. They've hardly featured altogether. And, he didn't have a good game, to be honest. You know, he could have been sent off just before halftime for a very bad foul on Samuel Umtiti. And, didn't really do much at all. But then he came out with that wonderful goal later in the game, which shows exactly what he can do. I still think it's going to be difficult whether Zidane stays or goes. I'm not sure his future is really linked to Zidane, but I'd say that as things stand, it looks like Zidane is going to stay, and I don't think we're going to see Bale at the club beyond this summer.
Okay, let's talk about the final now. Real Madrid progressed to the Champions League final in a not convincing manner in their two-legged game against Bayern Munich. The only way I see Madrid winning this game, and I have them as slight favourites, is if they can handle the kind of 15-20 minute whirlwind bits of pressure that Liverpool can put on any team. Do you think they'll be able to handle those kind of like spurts where Liverpool just for 15-20 minutes go insane and just put pressure on you, and the pace they put on teams in those kind of like really, like I say, 20-minute spurts? And do you see Zidane changing his tactics to deal with those periods where Liverpool can be unplayable?
I'm not sure he's going to change the tactics. I'm not sure, you know, what he can do too much to stop that that pressure in terms of personnel. We know the team that Zidane likes to pick. He picked Kovacic in the second leg against Bayern Munich, and Lucas Vazquez was at right back because Dani Carvajal was out. That experiment didn't work at all in either sense, and I think Casemiro coming back in offers them more balance in midfield and definitely helps the defence, and I'm sure that he'll start the final against Liverpool. On top of that, I don't know. I do feel that Real Madrid work harder in the Champions League. As you mentioned, they were pretty fortunate to get through those two games against Bayern. And they were battered really over two legs by Bayern, and Bayern had 39 chances in the two games. And that's a worry for Real Madrid. I think I might have mentioned this before. I think Liverpool would have preferred to have played Real Madrid at Anfield with that, you know, that that pressure that they put on teams at Anfield. They really go out and attack. You see what they did to Roma 5-2, what they did to Manchester City at Anfield, blew them away in that game. And perhaps they would have preferred to play them at Anfield. And given Real Madrid's poor home form, perhaps they would have preferred to play them at the Bernabeu as well. In a one-off final, important, of course, for Real Madrid to defend better. They did it at times in the Clásico. They've shown that they can do it. And then, of course, on the attack, they're able to really hurt teams. So I wouldn't rule out Real Madrid in the final, but definitely they're going to face a big test, and the pressure that you mentioned and all the pace of Liverpool having their attack and goals as well.
Indeed. Should Real Madrid win this final, does Zidane go down as one of the greatest managers of all time?
I think, yeah, he probably would, Jordan. But bizarrely, in a way, we still don't know how good a coach he is, because Real Madrid have a tremendous squad. And, you know, in many ways, Zidane is seen as... he's obviously... there's an aura, Zidane, an aura about him. The players respect him and look up to him. Kind of a bit of a magical figure really, at Real Madrid. He had has the respect of the players, which Benitez didn't. I think he's a great manager. I'm not sure. You know, obviously tactically, he's done well. You know, they've won two Champions Leagues in a row, eight titles in total. If he wins a third, he's going to have to go down as a great coach. But I think we're going to have to wait and see how he gets on in his next job to really know a bit more about Zidane the coach.
Indeed. And finally, do you know if any of the Madrid fans have any concerns? I mean, there's been some trouble with a couple of the Liverpool previous games in Europe, you know, with some attacks from Liverpool fans on the City bus at the Anfield game, and then latterly the Roma game as well. A Liverpool fan is quite seriously hurt. Do you sense any kind of concerns or fears about Madrid fans travelling to Ukraine for the final, or is that not something that is a big problem amongst the Madrid fans?
You know, I think every fan base has that element a little bit, Jordan, but I'm not sure that those kind of fans will be travelling. Yes, it's a long trip, an expensive trip. And, I don't know, to be honest. I don't really foresee any problems. I think it'd be more likely to be an issue, perhaps, if they were playing each other in the two cities, but I don't see any problems, envisage any problems really in Kiev. I think generally what I've seen with Real Madrid fans at Champions League finals before is that, you know, they're pretty well behaved, and the guys who travel are usually the ones that have a little bit more money, and they're not there to cause problems.
Fair point. And just very briefly on Atletico Madrid, they've progressed to another Europa League final as well. What do you foresee the next season and the summer indeed happening at Madrid in terms of, you know, outgoings and incomings? Will Simeone be there next year? Will Griezmann be there next year? You know, I was thinking that a really good first signing for Steven Gerrard at Rangers would be if he can persuade someone like Torres to finish his career at Rangers. What kind of action and movement do you foresee at Atletico this summer?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And, you know, they defended so well, didn't they, in those two games against Arsenal. I think defensively, they're the best team in Europe. If you look at the teams that progressed in the Champions League, Real Madrid problems in defence, Liverpool have problems in defence, and yet Atletico, you know, were just fantastic against Arsenal. This summer, I think... pretty sure Simeone will stay. He's still under contract for a couple more years, and I definitely think he'll stay. Diego Costa's really transformed them since coming back in the winter. And, you know, if you look at you know, what happened last summer, they had the transfer ban. They weren't able to bring in players, and yet they fought Barcelona pretty hard in La Liga. They've been up there for pretty much the whole season. And, you know, if Costa had been able to come back in the summer, perhaps they'd be even closer to where they are. They've had to, obviously, get used to a new stadium. That takes a lot of time. I think it's been a strong season for them. And, yeah, the key, as you mentioned, hanging on to Griezmann. If you can hang on to the Griezmann, I think next season could be really exciting for them. But obviously Barcelona are sniffing around him among another, you know, several other clubs. So it's going to be tough. And Torres is definitely leaving this summer. But I think he's closer to a move to MLS. It'd be interesting if he did end up in playing for Rangers or somewhere like that. But I think he's going to the States.
Fair enough. Ben, you're going to the World Cup, right? You'll be in Russia.
I will be, yes.
Okay. So we'll get you on just before the World Cup starts to chat about Spain and their participation. But Ben, cheers for coming on, man. Cheers for your time.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming on this week's Football Fans Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. We're on Audio Boom, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, all your favourite streaming and downloading outlets. Check us out on Instagram. We've got an Instagram page, so if you're not on there, join us on there, tag a friend. We're on Facebook too. And of course, Twitter, FFP_11. Give us a review, give us any questions you want sent in, and we will read them out on the show next week. Until next week, gentlemen, Zeke, G, Mark.
Absolute pleasure.
Pleasure was all mine. Peace.